In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On the Sunday that follows the apodosis, or the leave-taking of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the Church has us begin the first Sunday reading from the Gospel of Luke. And this reading talks about the very beginning of Christ's public ministry, where he called his disciples. And it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." First, we should pay attention to how eager these people were to hear the word of God. These people were pressing upon one another so much so that Christ needed to find some way to be able to address them without being pressed himself into the lake. And so he made use of this boat that was handy. But in our own day, where we have probably multiple copies of the scriptures around our house, and we have so many opportunities to go to church and to hear the word of God or to read the word of God, what do we do? Do we make any use of that? Do we show that same eagerness that these people had? I think in far too many cases we don't. We later hear St. Peter say to Christ, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." The fathers say that this represents the prophets of the Old Testament who had labored for so many centuries preaching to the people of Israel, but had not spread the faith in any substantial way beyond the people of Israel. Christ also made use of St. Peter's boat because he intended to catch the fishermen. This was a way that he was able to introduce himself to St. Peter. And of course, because St. Peter did him this kindness, he wanted to return the favor by giving him the catch that after all night they were not able to get, but also to work a wonder, a miracle, so the people, and especially his future disciples, would see that what he said was from God. Beginning with verse 4, it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" Now in the King James Version, you find this word "draught," and most people, when they see that, think that it's "draught," because it's spelled funny. It's D-R-A-U-G-H-T. It's very similar, actually has the same origin as the word "draft." And its root word is the word "draw." And so the imagery is that you're sort of letting a bucket down into the water and you're pulling up something. You're drawing something out of the water. And so in this case, they're letting down their nets into the sea, and they're trying to pull up some fish. "Simon Peter answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.'" Now you can just imagine St. Peter, who had been a fisherman all of his life, probably the son of a fisherman. This was his trade, to have Christ tell him, "Well, go out one more time and then I'll tell you where to let down the nets one more time and you'll get a catch of fish." Probably he was thinking, "This guy doesn't know anything about my trade. I know my business, but I don't want to be rude, so okay, because you asked me to do it, I'll go ahead and do it one more time." And it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break." In the Christian life, you cannot remain safe on the shore. And what the fathers say is that when they launched out into the sea, they were going out into the world to try to catch or to bring in, or at least this is the imagery of this passage, to bring in those who would come to know the true faith. You can't wait for the fish to come to the shore that'll jump into your nets. You have to go out there and take your chances, go out into the danger of the sea and contend with the world to bring these people ashore. The Christian life's also not a static one. We begin, all of us, in baptism, and that's the safe port that we enter into the Christian life, but that's not where we should end up. We should grow in our knowledge of the faith. We should grow in our spiritual lives in prayer and fasting, and also in putting the knowledge that we gain into actual practice. St. Maximus of Turin says, "The church is called out into the deep, delving, as it were, into the profound mysteries of the heavens, into that depth concerning which the apostle says, 'Oh, the depths are the riches and wisdom of God.'" St. Paul, in his epistles, often speaks about the spiritual life in terms of the growth of a child from infancy to adulthood, and he speaks of giving spiritual milk to spiritual infants. But he often berates people, or the people that he's writing to, because they should be up beyond that point. They should be at the point where they're eating spiritual meat, and yet they're still asking for milk. We have in our own time the phenomenon of 40-year-old men that live in their mother's basements, and they're quite content to eat their mother's food and to let their mother wash their clothes and to play video games all day. And they're basically living as perpetual children, depending on their parents. And one wonders, in most of these cases, what will happen when their parents are finally gone and no longer there to take care of them. That's not what we should be like spiritually. We shouldn't be just coming to church when we feel like it, or even coming to church regularly, but never doing anything beyond just coming here, receiving the sacraments, going home, and doing nothing with what we have gained. We should be diligently seeking the truth, seeking the knowledge that we find in the scriptures and the writings of the saints, and seeking what can we do to further the ministry of the church. Christ said after his resurrection to the disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." The fathers point out that when Christ said, teaching them to observe all things, he meant not just some of the things, or the most important things, or the basic things, but to teach them all things. We're not just to be converts, we're to be disciples. The word disciple comes from the same root word as discipline. We should have a seriousness about our life and have a goal that we make progress in that life. The church teaches us the things that we need to know, but we're supposed to not just learn them, but to put them into practice. I used to hear when I was a Protestant Pentecostals, they had a saying, some of them, where particularly if you started talking about some doctrinal matter that they didn't want to be bothered with, they would say, "Well, man, I just read the red and pray for the power." And when they say read the red, they mean I just read the red letters in the Gospels, the words of Christ, and I pray that God would bless me, and I'm not worried about it beyond that. That's not what we should be doing as Orthodox Christians, just focusing on just the words of Christ alone that are actually quoted in the Gospels. Because St. John says that the whole world could not contain the books if we had written down everything that Christ did and said. But his teachings are contained not just in the Gospels, not just in his own words, or not even in the Gospels, but in the writings of the apostles, and also in the apostolic tradition, the oral tradition that all these apostles passed down into the church. All of this is what we should be trying to dig into deeply. And we also see, if you study the words of Christ and the apostles in the New Testament, how important or how much emphasis they placed on the Old Testament scriptures, because they're constantly quoting them. If you look at the Gospels and you look at when Christ quoted scripture, which he did constantly, he constantly quoted especially from three books, Deuteronomy, the Psalms, and Isaiah. So obviously, at least these books are so important that he made constant reference to them. If we want to understand the Gospels, we probably ought to take the time to actually read them. But unfortunately, too many of us have never even cracked those books open and began to read even a little bit of them, much less to have read them through or to diligently study them. But these are the things that Christ taught his apostles. After the resurrection in the Gospel of Luke, it says, beginning in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 25, "Then he said unto them," the disciples, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And then beginning at verse 44 of the same chapter, it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." These are among the things that Christ taught his disciples to observe and to do, and these are the things that we need to learn to observe and to do. St. Augustine said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so all the scriptures have value. But of course, we can't understand the scriptures just by themselves without the guidance of the church. So we have to also read what the fathers and the saints of the church have to say. and listen to the instruction that we get in church, both in sermons and also in Sunday school classes and on other occasions where we have an opportunity to be instructed in the faith. So it's not just reading the red and praying for the power that we need to be doing. And it's not just reading the Gospels. It's not just reading the New Testament. And it's not even reading the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's the whole counsel of God that's contained in the Scriptures and also in the tradition of the Church. These are the things that we are to be taught. These are the things that we are supposed to learn. These are the things that we are supposed to do. Not to just intellectually learn them. It's not sufficient to just have a curiosity and to be interested to gather all this information. It's useless if we don't actually put them into practice. And the gospel continues, "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." The fathers say that the two ships represent the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so it's the Scriptures, of course, with the understanding provided by the church, that are the vessels that carry us to shore. The fathers say also that when the apostles beckoned to the other ship, that this signified that the apostles were not able to do all the work of the ministry, all the work to harvest those that would come to the Christian faith by themselves. The clergy cannot do it all by themselves. We can't just say, well, that's the priest's job and let him do it, or that's the bishop's job, that's what they're supposed to do. The work of the ministry is something that all of us are supposed to do. We all have a function in the church. And some functions are more obvious than others, but every function has an important purpose. St. Paul, when he talks about the body of Christ, he talks about how if you have one part of your body that is injured, your whole body suffers. And if you've ever had like a little paper cut on your finger, or if you've broken a toe or something like that, you may never have paid much attention to that toe before. But when that toe is broken, all of a sudden you notice the fact that that's hurting, and so therefore you're not able to walk the way you would normally walk. And so every one of us have some role to fill. And so what we need to be doing is to ask God to show us what that is and to make sure that we're diligently doing it. When Simon Peter saw it, in other words, when he saw this miracle, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. As we talked about last week, when you encounter God, when you have an experience of the holy, it's not comfortable, but it's definitely not boring. And so if we think that it's boring to study the Scriptures, it's boring to come to church, it's because we haven't got to that point where we began to experience the reality of who God is. But if you're like that, if you haven't yet been able to cross over, in other words, if you're like the apostles and you've toiled all night, you've not caught anything, what I would encourage you to do is to not give up. Because whether we feel like doing something or not, there are things that we know that we need to do. We know that we need to be praying regularly. We know we need to be studying the Scriptures. We know we need to be going to church. We don't always feel like doing those things. We don't always feel like being nice to people or helping the poor when they ask for help. But we have to do it whether we feel like doing it or not, whether even we feel like we're doing it for the right reasons. Because we know from Scripture, from the teachings of the church, that these are the right things for us to do. And if we're persistent, if we continue to do that and we don't give up, God will bless our efforts. And eventually we will begin to experience the reality of who He is. And note also that the apostles forsook all without any hesitation. The fathers point out they didn't go home and talk to their families and say, "What do you think? I'm kind of thinking about following this rabbi Jesus." No, they immediately, because they saw that what Christ said was true, because it was confirmed by this miracle, they immediately forsook all and began to follow him. Christ calls us to launch out into the deep so that we can do the work of the ministry that we've been called to do. We need to lend our hand to the work of the church, eagerly seek to hear the word of God, to understand it, and to do it. And if we do that, we'll not only save ourselves, but we'll save others. Amen.